The reading today is from Hebrews 12, chapter 1 to 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and chastises every child whom he accepts. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children, for what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have the discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not his children. Moreover, we had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not be even more willing to be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share his holiness. Now, discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed.
Thank you, Emma. Well, good morning, everyone. So Hebrews chapter 12. I grew up in a Christian home with a lot of sound teaching about what it means to live in godly ways. At the beginning of high school, my school friends became big fans of fortune-telling games, astrologies, games that would predict who we would marry, how long we would live, and various aspects of our future life. Every time they invited me to join in, I had a clear sense of the Holy Spirit telling me no. Now, regardless of what justifications or rationales my brain might think up, regardless of whether other Christians might have different views, I knew in my spirit that God was telling me no. And yet too many times I ignored that. I was only 13. How could I walk away from my friends at lunchtime and risk being a loner? I told myself I wouldn't actively participate, I'd just sit around the fringes. Or when they wanted to tell my future, I'd say, it's not like I'm actually leading a game or doing the fortune telling. But each time, I knew that it was not right between me and God. Now, I was a Christian at this time. I was saved. I was in Christ. This was not an issue for my eternal salvation, but it was a big issue for my walk with God. It was a big issue in terms of how God could use me, what gifts he might release in me, and how closely I would enjoy his presence. After a while, my friends tired of these things, life moved on. But still, at times when I was reflective or in prayer, I knew it wasn't done. I had resisted and ignored something God had wanted to tell me. I had actively participated in something he told me not to. Finally, in late high school, one night I realized there was only one solution. I had to be humble enough to admit to myself and to God, without any justifications, that I had sinned. I had ignored his convicting voice. I needed to repent and ask forgiveness. Finally, I was ready to lay aside every weight and the sin that clung. In that moment, the change I noticed was being easier in my spirit. I had freedom from that recurring conviction I'd been pushing back to the recesses of my mind. But over coming months, I noticed something else. There was a change in my prayer life. There seemed to be new gifts that God was releasing in me, a different joy in my walk with Him. There were other areas of my life I hadn't been aware needed to change, but now I was hearing God better. He could grow me and change me in other ways too. God was merciful to me. He kept on prompting me, disciplining me, chastising me until I heard, until I threw off that sin, until I was better able to run the race He had planned for me, until I was in a place to receive more from Him. This is the final week of our sermon series, Dying to Live. If we've fully grasped and implemented this teaching on dying to our old self, putting off our old self, we'll be ready to move next week into a really exciting series. You see, once we've truly put off the weight of sin, we will indeed be free to run with perseverance the race set before us. Over the next few months, we will run with Elijah and Elisha, great prophets of the Old Testament. Our next sermon series is called More. God is saying to us, but wait, there's more. It's not just about dying to live, but the fullness of life. There is so much more. So this week is a final opportunity to really reflect and consider whether we're ready for that race, ready to throw off everything that hinders in order to run with perseverance the race set before us, whether we're really free of those weights. Are we ready to run with Elijah and Elisha to be sure that we're in the right state to receive so much more from God through His Holy Spirit? You see, to run the race with Jesus, to know the joy that He saw even as He endured the cross, we need to first accept the Lord's discipline in our struggle against sin. In the previous chapter of Hebrews, there was a list of many great heroes of the faith. They're the great cloud of witnesses referred to at the start of our passage. We know they had many failings. Noah planted a vineyard after he got off the ark, got drunk, there was this huge family brawl, and one of his younger sons ended up cursed for generations. Abraham did some shocking things in his times of doubting God's promise. And even though his faith did win through in the end, it was because God disciplined him, taught him, was patient with him. Abraham learned and grew and received the promise that had been given to him. Sarah, likewise, had huge character flaws. She laughed at God's word. She mistreated her slave so badly, the slave ran out into the desert to die rather than be with Sarah until God brought her back. But God saw that Sarah too was a work in progress. And Sarah saw the promise of God fulfilled in her life. Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all of them were deeply flawed, but accepted the discipline of the Lord and received so much more. They were used in magnificent ways because at the end of the day, they were listening. They responded. They confessed and repented when called on to do so. I wonder if there might be an area of your life where God has been prodding you, convicting you. In a similar way to how He prodded me in the testimony I shared at the start. I wonder if there might be an area of your life where God has been prodding and convicting you, but instead of resisting the sin, you've been resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If it stops you from getting closer to God, then it needs to go. It's human nature to be very good at justifying sin. Adam tried that when he blamed Eve for handing him the fruit. But God didn't have a bar of it. Eve tried it when she blamed the snake for tempting her. God didn't have a bar of it. When doing prayer ministry here at Oak Tree, repentance is one of the important things that we lead people through. Because the reality is, we are saved by faith alone. But if we want to receive the fullness of God's blessing and grow to full maturity, then the faithfulness of our walk is critical. Once we become a Christian, we're not finished. We're just beginning. Today we remember the Jewish festival of the booths, and Valerie's done a wonderful job in building this booth for us. The Israelites went through the Exodus and were a nation, the people of God, but they lived in booths in the desert, wandering for 40 years because they weren't ready to follow God wholeheartedly. Only when they truly repented and had been disciplined did God bring them into the promised land and its wonderful harvests of abundance. This festival reminds the Jewish people of the link between repentance, faithfulness, and the bounty of God. If you want to fly, you have to give up the things that weigh you down. If you want more of God, you need to throw off the sin that hinders. Throughout our Christian journey, the Lord has much to do in our lives. The testimony I shared at the beginning is not a journey I've been through only once, but many times in different areas of sin over the years. We all have areas of sin to be addressed, repented of, and changed. God does discipline and chastise. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and as we become aware of things in our lives that displease God, then as children of God, we need to submit to that discipline, accept and acknowledge our sinfulness in that area, repent, and seek to change and grow. This is a consistent part of God's character and his manner of relating to us. In verse 5 of our passage, the writer to the Hebrews quotes Proverbs 3:11. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and chastises every child whom he accepts. Sometimes those sins and habits are really hard to break. This letter to the Hebrews makes that plain. It says, in your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Instead of justifying sin, we need to be prepared to struggle against it, to cut it out, to resist no matter how difficult it is, and even if the struggle takes a long time. But we only truly begin the struggle when we're ready to admit it, to confess it, and to repent. And so I ask again, I wonder if there is an area of your life that God has been convicting you of. Something you know is displeasing him. Whether a present sin or a past one, is there something you've been avoiding dealing with or admitting? Something you've been perhaps justifying to yourself? It's not such a bad sin, really. I've grown so much, I've changed so much, I can wait to deal with that. It's not like anyone knows. God knows the trouble and pain of my life. I'm sure it's okay if I'm not ready to give up this one yet. When so-and-so deals with their sin, I'll deal with mine. None of those justifications are any better than Adam and Eve's attempts. If we've accepted Jesus as our Lord, then we are God's children. But we're not a finished work. God has so much more for us, more to pour out, more to show us, more blessings to give. So we must be ready to throw it off. Throw off all that you are keeping back from the Lord. Throw off all that you are trying to hide from the Lord. Throw off all that you've been pretending doesn't exist. Throw it off. Even if it hurts, throw it off. In a moment, I'm going to pause. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us individually this morning, to show us, to show me and you, what there is in our life today that he wants us to throw off, to shed. If you're not yet a Christian, be opening to hearing the voice of the Lord calling you to turn to him for the first time. For all of us, I encourage you to listen, to be still, to see what the Lord brings to your mind, particularly things he might be wanting you to repent of. Ajit, I'd like to invite you up at this moment. After I pray, Ajit's going to play for us for a moment while we have an opportunity to hear from God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have made us your children. Thank you for your love. We also thank you for your discipline and correction. This morning we come before you to say, we are listening. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to recognize the areas in our life where we need to repent and do business with you. In Jesus' name, I ask that you would give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts that are open to you. Bring to mind any sins we have been stubborn about letting go of, or stubborn to admit and confess. Speak, Father. Your children are listening.
Down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. And find me here, Lord, as you draw me near. I'm desperate for you, desperate for you. I surrender, I surrender. I wanna know you more, I wanna know you more. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. I surrender. I surrender.
Father, for your mercy and grace. Give us strength to live in the light of your revelation to us. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to live new life in you. Amen. So today we are talking about throwing off every weight and the sin that clings. Throwing it off might seem hard. That's why we live in community. Having someone to pray with, to share an area where we want to be held accountable, is incredibly helpful. So if you're in a connect group, consider sharing what God has said with a couple of people from that group. If you're married and your spouse shares your faith, share with them what God is challenging you on, and you can pray for each other and support each other. If neither of those apply, find a Christian friend or speak with me or one of the other staff of the church today or over the next week, and we would be happy to pray with you. Let's not waste the Lord's love in disciplining and chastising us. Let's not ignore his call to repent and change. We want more. We want to be free to receive more. Let me finish by once again sharing the word of God from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and chastises every child whom he accepts. He disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share his holiness. Now, discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. May the Lord heal us, purify us, and make us a people ready to receive more. I invite the worship band to lead us in a time of repentance-focused worship. Now, it might be that you would prefer to kneel or to sit rather than to stand during this time of worship. In whatever way the Lord leads you, feel free to respond accordingly as we come before our great God.
I'm just going to sing that song again. I just invite you to sing along if you know it, but if you don't, just take the time to reflect and just surrender it all to God. Here I am, down on my knees.